Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Midday with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling right along. We got deep into this conversation. We've got deep. The new fears have been risen by Steve Rummage. Blame him, people.
It's not my fault. It's the truth.
The inconvenient truth?
Yes. Look, I think they're going to come back at the end of the day. Look, real quick, before we even get, let's take a brief second from basketball, just for a second. One of us has a huge weekend this weekend, talking about going pro. One of us has a weekend that is going to shape the future of the rest of our lives.
Jeez.
Are you ready for it?
Oh, let's talk about it, Steve.
Well, I mean, no, don't go into your son. No, you selfish Marcus Maben. Don't go into what you're. I'm talking about the Cowboys, man.
Oh,
come on, man. This is a big thing.
Oh,
they're finally back to relevancy.
I thought you were talking.
Absolutely not. No, you've been selfishly. This has been all I've heard about all week. I'm like, oh, who's the Cowboys going to take? I don't know. I wonder where Jalen's going to go. I don't know, Marcus. Who's the Cowboys going to take? The Cowboys are a Super Bowl winning type team this year. Come on, man. No, I'm really excited for who the Cowboys are.
No, you're not kidding.
I
was going to say, don't apologize.
I think I've narrowed it down. I've narrowed it down to Adoree Jackson from USC. I like that pick. And I don't care what he's taking. I like Peppers there. I don't care what he's taking on his free time. It's his business.
Steve,
I'm looking for players. I'm not looking for youth pastors. I do that myself. I don't need one on my football team.
You don't need more youth pastors on your football team.
I need a guy that can play football.
Do you realize what you're saying?
Yeah.
Not only have you just discredited youth pastors you've eliminated a youth pastor.
Yeah. Derek Barnett, by the way, I like him too.
I love Derek Barnett.
I love him.
But Tennessee, I love him. I think he's better than Miles. But that's not the point. So, Steve, you made a natural transition into football. You said, I don't care what he's taking, making reference to Jabril Peppers.
Right.
The University of Michigan Heisman Trophy only threat to Lamar Jackson, Jabril Peppers. Do you think he pee dirty?
I mean, obviously, yeah.
No, that's not obvious. He had a diluted sample.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why you have a. I don't pee. I don't pee half H2O in urine. I mean, like I don't. You know, I don't pee.
Water,
saliva, and urine. I mean, you diluted it.
Saline solution.
Yeah. I mean, you diluted it. I mean, what did you pee in the toilet and then scoop it out? Are you one of those guys? Like, I mean,
it's yellow.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done that. I've never had to. I always felt confident peeing in a cup.
As have I.
I actually, the bigger problem was when they would hand me the cup and I'm like, oh my God, it puts you on the spot. I can't pee.
Performance anxiety?
Yes. Nurse is standing outside the door. It's just waiting. Steve. Are you done? No, I can't pee.
That didn't happen.
I can't.
Crazy.
Well, y'all going to have to let me take this home. I need this to be natural.
When have you ever been able to take a drug test home?
I mean, look at me.
What
am I taking drugs?
What world do you live in to where you can get away with taking a drug testing kit home?
I guess I don't look like I take drugs. Look at me.
Be careful on that slippery slope.
Don't even go there.
Be careful on that slippery slope.
Marcus.
I don't look like I take drugs.
Marcus.
Who looks like they take drugs, Steve?
Not me.
No. Give me a description of the drug taker. Just do it right now. Double dog dare you.
Exactly. Great. Now I have to.
Does he look more like Jabril Peppers, Steve? Does he look like he takes drugs?
This is awesome.
But point being,
this is good.
Jabril Peppers gets a diluted sample failed drug test.
Which you've obviously did something. I mean.
You can safely assume that the reason they put the diluted sample rule in there.
I mean, maybe there is a chance that something was just come back weird. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
So your professional, my point being, your professional team, you would not mind taking your marijuana user on your Cowboys?
Not at all.
What about the fact that he failed the drug test?
I don't care.
What about the fact that he knew a drug test was coming and he failed the drug test?
worries you a little more that maybe he just don't care.
How much more?
He's not a lot because he's about to get drafted.
Is he going to be automatically in the drug treatment program because of that failed test?
He may be. Now, that's possible.
Now, see, that's why I can't draft him.
No, but he's a kid that's going in. Look, we'll do it again. That's fine. I'll be pot guy. That's fine. But, I mean, there's your
pot's winning the war.
He's excited. He's in one of
Oh, my God. Did Steve just give him the he's excited about draft day coming up, and that's why he's smoking pot? If Steve, you're really sounding like the pot enthusiast.
That, nobody even said, though, that it was pot. Weekends. Now, that's a – yeah, right.
That's a good point as well.
I mean, now – if it's something worse, then maybe you go, he has a problem.
HGH.
Well, then if I'm Lamar Jackson, I really flex my muscle. No pun intended. Say, I won the Heisman over you, and you was taking steroids.
Or pot.
Or, I mean, pot, whatever. Yes.
Point being, he failed a drug test.
Yeah,
and Steve, you've decided that you would accept him with open arms.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even though he's fell down my list, I do think I want
Dorian Jackson. Yes, and see, that's what I'm asking. Like,
yeah.
You do remove. I mean, not,
no, no. I mean, he fell down my list before then. I think there's a couple guys I want over here, but I'll take him. I'd still take him.
Right. So you know your opinion of him coming from, and Jerry Jones does like the high risk, high reward guys.
Pun intended. Right. High risk. Is that what we were doing?
No, that's not what I was doing.
Oh, okay. I just assume that's where
that's
we
were a
going.
Good point.
That was great.
Yeah,
no, he does. Jerry Jones isn't afraid to. He's not afraid to jump on a guy like a Peppers. He's not afraid to jump up and take a Dez Bryant. My gosh, he wanted his son had to beg him not to take Johnny Manziel.
I remember. Okay, well, speaking of selling your soul as a fan.
By the way, I hope Jalen Johnson. Or I hope Jalen
Johnson.
I hope the Cowboys take that. You could. Why not? We took Rico Gathers last year.
Right, I was going to say
Jalen Johnson.
That's Freudian.
Jalen Reeves, maybe.
Speaking of selling your soul as a fan, Brian, are you prepared in there for a little guy? Yesterday, Steve, let me talk to you about it, because I know you don't listen to the show Midday with Marcus Maben from 10 to 12 when you're not in here. You know, what you bring to the show, you selfishly hold for yourself until you can deliver it all on the show. So, Steve, we talked about people selling their soul, and we had some confessions. Yesterday, we talked about the none and done idea that is Hamadou Diallo out of the University of Kentucky declaring for the NBA draft. Now, I will say you called it way before any other human being on radio.
Right.
The day the announcement came out, your first text message, actually before he even confirmed going to Kentucky, you said that kid will never play a minute in a Kentucky uniform.
Right.
I mean, later on, you thought maybe it was possible.
Yeah.
But originally,
yeah,
you knew when Cal was thinking about bringing him in to be on that team the second semester, you said that kid will never wear a uniform in Kentucky.
Yeah. Right,
you want to spike the ball?
Yeah, no, I will, because I think that I don't know why people are making this so hard. I mean, is it not clear what happened here? Calipari's recruiting this kid for next season. This kid can go pro. I think Diallo looked at Cal and said, "I'll be honest with you, Coach. I'm calling you and all the other coaches. I'm going pro. I'm not going to go to college.
I'm never going
to
wear a uniform.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to college." And I think Calipari, being the marksman or
marketeer
that he is, said, "Okay, well, why don't you just come to Kentucky for the second semester? I won't play you, and I'll take the bullet for you. So I'll jump out and say, well, you know, we want to mesh him into the system, right, blah, 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 and all this." So Cal took the bullet for him, said, "No, you don't play. But now you get to practice in the best facilities around, play with some of the best players around, and you're going to go pro."
So Cal is basically like the Nathan Huber of college basketball or
that's
something.
That's perfect.
Right?
Calipari and Nathan Huber are one in the same. They're one in the same.
That's our marketeer extraordinaire,
perfect.
By the way, people.
Yeah.
The way he marketed the Hamadou Diallo.
Yes.
You know, it's all benefit.
No, it is. It is. And it was a genius idea. And kudos to you. Whatever.
Until,
you did it.
Yeah. Until it actually happened.
Yeah.
Until it actually happened, Steve, because you know what it just did yesterday? It forced people to come to grips with who and what they are. And let's be honest. This is what Louisville fan who's nice to Kentucky fan, and I'm talking about people who have open conversation, right? Open conversation. This is why I like Louisville. This is what I like about my program. This is what I don't like about your program, right? And we're just talking about family, you know, jabbing, not ribbing, but I'm talking about, you know, my criticisms of your program. It forced them to 100% acknowledge that what you're doing over there has nothing to do with university. Brian Hall, we played a clip of Calipari yesterday. We played it numerous times. Brian, do you have the Coach Calipari clip for Steve? And Steve, this clip is Coach Calipari's original statements when Hamidou Diallo came to the University of Kentucky. Brian?
I wouldn't do it for me or the program. The only way that would happen is if it's in his best interest. But it wouldn't be about the situation. The situation wouldn't matter. Up, down, sideways, wouldn't matter. It would be about him. And what I know, what's in his mind, and what I see, he needs to get squared away. Let's get your base set, and then come back and do your thing. That would be my recommendation if he asked me.
Steve?
That's taking the bullet for you. That's why you don't have to play.
That's not even thinking about having him play.
Yeah. I mean, you left a national title on the table not having him play.
What did you think about the way he answered? It doesn't matter. It's not about the program. It's not about the situation. Did that make you feel uncomfortable being a college sports guy? Because to me, that struck me as almost the most blatant disrespect for college, not just Kentucky. Like, if I'm at a Kentucky program, I'm like, what the hell did my coach just say? Right? But if I'm a fan of college athletics, I'm saying, that right there was everything not college.
Yeah, but Kentucky's not a college anymore. Kentucky basketball is not a college anymore. It's an NBA prep factory. That's what it is. And maybe you win along the way. Maybe you win along the way.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You win along the way.
Hopefully you win along the way.
What did that sound a little like really cliche? Like, I don't even want to say anything. Me knowing what's on his mind, up, down, left, right. Come back, square his base, and do it. Come back and do his thing.
Like, that's taking the bullet. That's all that is. That's I've told this kid already. He don't have to play.
So I'm gonna give you a confusion and run around misdirection until he gets out of here.
Do you know how many Kentucky fans I've heard over the last 2 days come at me with, "Well, he couldn't have played. He would have had to play over Dominic Hawkins." Diallo would run Dominic Hawkins off the freaking court.
And
are you kidding me?
And Mulder.
Mulder's, that's a joke. But, I mean, are you,
Steve,
you're,
don't
you're,
be so dismissive.
Your come at me is, well, I mean, no, I mean, he would have had to play over Hawkins. You don't think Diallo could have played over Hawkins? Have you watched 1 second of Diallo play? That kid may be the best athlete in the first round.
There's a reason you are the number one shooting guard going into this season.
Yeah, I mean that's silly. Like don't give me that excuse,
Steve. We had a call yesterday, and to me, it was everything I've heard. Brian, do we have the call from yesterday that to me was the Kentucky fan base, the open, honest Kentucky fan base with any kind of, you know, rapport with the Cardinal fan base? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got the guy who says, "I don't care," you know. I'll sell my sister for, you know what I'm saying, for whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You got that guy. You got that guy on Louisville side. You got that guy.
That's me. Yeah. Just say it.
That can be
anybody
at times. But I want you to hear this call. And to me, it summed up everything we hear on a consistent basis when we're out in these streets. Brian, from Way. Sam, thanks for joining me on 93.9. What's on your mind?
What's up, Marcus? How you doing?
Dylan.
Oh, man, I just want to say I'm a Cats fan, and, you know, I don't always agree with how we run the program these days, but
the worst part about it? Be honest, man. I'm honest on this radio every day. I need you to come on, like, be self-reflective here and say there's some things that I really hate, you know, about the way we do things. What's one of those worst things?
The worst part about it is the disappointment when we lose. You know, the end of the season, all the build up, all the hype, and then you know, only one team wins the championship, and when it's not us, you know, it hurts because you have all the expectations.
So, well, let me ask you this: is it worth it? Like, do you feel like the one championship you have, is it worth the Diallos and the Enes Kanters and the guys who are legitimately just mercenary, you know, Scalabies? They just, you can tell there's not the, you know, the emphasis on anything that's university. It's just a glorified traveling basketball team. It's you know, like, is that worth it to you?
Well, you know, honestly, no, that part is embarrassing to me, Marcus. And it's hard as a fan because I'm not going to change my team, you know. That's right. Never going to change. But
so you just find a way to love it.
Well, you find a way to justify it, I think. And, you know, like with these guys, with Diallos and the Canners and those guys, I mean, you know, we just have to accept them, you know, because they get to wear the flag, you know. They come in, yep. and I guess in a way they help the program because, you know, they're practice guys, their bodies, you know, there. It's not like our players aren't getting to play against these guys and getting better competition in practice, you know. So
right. You
appreciate that aspect of it. And like you said, you don't hate the individual. You don't hate the Diallos.
What about Calipari's decision?
Doing what's best for them.
So what about Calipari's decision not to play? You would probably agree that you had an inside shot at winning a championship if you could have added a Diallo to this past year's team, right?
I mean, you can't say it wouldn't have hurt, you know? I mean, I just feel like Cal, in some ways, is just kind of playing the game of what college basketball is. And you know, one thing this whole experience as Cal being our coach has taught me is that, you know, money rules the world, and basketball is no exception.
Sam, listen, I'm sorry about that. I thought you were friends. I appreciate the call. Steve, you listened to that interview, and I could have been a bit less leading, but I was, you know, I was trying to get to his root feelings about his program. What did that sound like to you?
I mean, that sounded like someone that is doing what a lot of people are doing now, and you're just facing the reality of, look, we're going to recruit highly, we're going to win highly at times. But there may not be a lot of tangible things to show for that.
And he said it. Like, think about it. With all the winning, you know how, you know, when people reflect, they say, well, Kentucky's won this many games or they've done this well. When they reflect on it, they say the hardest part about being under this program is the losing, is the disappointment. Like, he sounded like a fan of a team that loses, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's more focused on the disappointment of the loss than – But and again, I did say it's the worst part, but he sounded like a guy who almost feels like we know we're going to lose every year. It's just coming, you know, whenever it comes, I'll just wait for it. You know, like, I think Louisville fan thinks they're going to win until they lose.
Well, I think the harsh reality is, too, with them is that it would be different if you look and you have a super team next year. I think they're going to struggle next year.
You think they're still scared about this Louisville rivalry changing to be, instead of, you know, being on the other side of the win-lose.
Well, what
happens?
What happens? I know you're going to scream 8-1, 8-2, whatever. But what if Louisville goes to Rupp this year? And what if Louisville hands you a little something? And then you
and
go.
And not just a three-pointer.
Yeah. And you go, well, I mean, that's 2 years in a row. And then the next year, say you lose a few guys and Louisville brings in Anthony Simmons and Courtney Ramey. And I'm doing a lot of what ifs. And what if Louisville beats you out for Romeo Langford? And what if you come back to the Yum Center and you get beat again? Well, at what point now are you going, the tilt of power has totally shifted where Louisville was supposed to be dead during scandal. That was supposed to be the end of the rivalry.
If Kentucky didn't make the tournament next year and end up in the NIT, would they fire Coach Calipari?
No, but they'd be mad. They're going to they'll probably make the tournament. I mean, they'll make the tournament.
what would be firing a fireable offense?
Nothing next year. I mean, let's not act like he's not winning. I mean, he's going to Final Fours.
Right.
I made example of that call
because we hear that so often.
Yeah.
Like, we hear that extreme disappointment.
Yeah.
Man, let me get to these phone lines. Jeff, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's up, Marcus, man? How you doing?
Chilling.
Hey, man, I got this theory, man. This is barbershop talk. And I always bring it up to these guys that are big UK fans, man, and with Calipari and his recruiting. And, you know, so here's my theory. Now, for you, you was at University of Louisville, basketball player, followed you, loved the team, everything. But what I got out of it was, we know you, we followed you, we was there. Now, we didn't get a national championship, but you all gave us something back. It's like every year, Pitino's and all his players, they give us something back. Now, if we get a championship, that's the icing on the cake. You know, because we get something back. We can say, hey, we know so-and-so, and we know you, we know blah, blah, blah. So we get something back. Now, for the University of Kentucky, I tell these guys all the time, I say, what do you get back from these players that come to your school? I said, if y'all get a national championship, that means you got something from them where we can brag and see the banners. But if they stay 1 year and leave and don't get a championship, what do you get out of it? And one guy said, they go to the league. I said, well, is that guy sending you money in the mail? So what did you get out of it? You don't even know the guy's name. You don't know who the next recruit's coming in. So my thing is, what do you get out of it going to University of Kentucky as a player, as a fan? They don't get anything back. But does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Jeff, and I appreciate the call. We talk about this all the time. Like, again, we're just talking about the cats and dogs and the relationship differences and the fan bases who know the struggle of Honest Mahmood to gain weight, who's going to remember the summer that he lost the weight and Coach Pitino was mad at him. And remember when, you know, when politically, you know, you remember when Honest was worried about, you know, political changes and, you know, how that was going to affect him. Like, we're going to remember these individual stories, you know, because you need multiple years to even know your players.
Yeah.
Like you have to know V.J. King. Like, you're going to know V.J. King signed with the University of Louisville when the scandal broke. And he still signed. So you're going to have a different level of appreciation for V.J. King. And especially, like you said, Jeff, you win a championship. That's icing. You know Peyton Siva's story.
Well, and Wayne Blackshear. A lot of people, you ask people about a Wayne Blackshear, and they go, yeah, no, he did this, but yeah. I just had this conversation the other day where people go, man, you know, we thought we'd get more out of Wayne. And somebody said, and I go, yeah, you know, they're like, yeah, but man, he turned Kentucky down when it was cool to go to Kentucky. I mean, like, you remember, like, Anthony Davis, you know, bounces off and goes to Kentucky. Wayne could have easily followed him.
Right.
As a five-star guy, he doesn't. He says no. And not only does he, there's the story where he said, where his mom kind of told Calipari, like, no, no, we're here.
Right.
Stop. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that. And he's here and he wins a title. You remember you remember his shoulder surgeries. You remember, and it's like, and for
the year to year progress.
Rival fan that says, well, Wayne Blackshear was a failure. No, Wayne Blackshear was not a failure. Are you kidding me? Do you know all the memories you got from Wayne Blackshear? He's a national champion. He's making a ton of money overseas right now. I mean, he's not a failure.
And the frustration's valuable, people. Like the frustration of your big man, the development of your player, the he can't do this year and he can do this next year. People, you have great memories of Gordy, but you were mad at him at first. Like, why is Rick getting this guy? And now you love the story that
there's
is Gordy.
Longevity in what Louisville's doing.
Right.
I think that's the difference.
This is also the reason that you feel comfortable talking about the whenever Rick leaves, you know, it's not a program rattler. I mean, it'll be different.
Oh yeah, it'd be different.
But what I'm
yeah.
saying is, like, you would still feel like you have a machine here.
Yeah.
Not just a centric, you know,
whereas
glitz
when
and glamour thing.
Calipari is a system of his own that when he leaves, you're going to go to a complete, you're going to go back to what you enjoy. I'll say that. But here's the thing. Calipari's system's not built for longevity. It's built until he was ahead
until
of the
he
game.
Gets tired, yeah.
Or until they catch up and people are starting to catch up.
Who do you mean they catch up? Did you say they catch him or they catch up?
People are starting to catch up. Dukes are starting to catch up. Arizona.
Are you sure you didn't say catch him?
No, catch up. No, oh yeah, catch up. Well, either way works.
I didn't know if that was Freudian.
To catch up. I mean, because the thing is now that you're starting to see different teams are taking the one and done away from him, all of a sudden he's not winning at the high level anymore. The year that he had the year that he did have the super team, you lost to a Wisconsin team that passed around and shoots bank shots, and who won the national title that year?
Duke
with a lot of one and duns. He did your system and he won the title. And
they look good doing it, too.
Yeah, and other teams now have caught up. And his system, it's not built for longevity.
The
like
coaching
the way
part
is.
Of the system.
Right. Rick Pitino could do this for another 20 years. And he's going to have the sustained success.
That's a good point. Sustained success, 20 years.
Yeah.
I hope we're able to do what we do for 20 years. Quick commercial break. People, you don't want to go anywhere. You get Steve Rummage, Marcus Maven, and Jeff Greer. This is some intelligent conversation. This is the most insider conversation you're going to get out of the city of Louisville. Guaranteed. Midday with Marcus Maven. Jeff Greer on the other end. 8150, 939 is the number on 939 DeVille.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station.
I that's just cheating.
That gets you going.
That's just cheating.
Tell me you didn't like that.
That gets you going.
Come on, try to tell me you didn't.
You know I love it. Listen, I'm from Tennessee. You know I love that music. That's just flat out cheating.
Are they from Tennessee?
Midday with Marcus, baby. We're gonna ignore that question because we know there's Mr. Tennessee guys here.
Why you can't say Memphis?
A lot different from Darius Rucker, you know. So,
God,
it's a stretch.
Here we go.
Waiting on the line. Let's get back to mature radio. Let's get back to good quality radio. Waiting on the line, as promised, from our very own Courier Journal, Jeff Greer. Jeff Greer, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, fellas. What's up with you?
Same old here, man. I'm glad I could steal you for a little bit of time. And if you haven't learned already, yes, I am a last minute kind of guy. You know, hope I can get you for some time tomorrow. You know, like that's how I operate. And speaking of last minute. Before we move any further, I got to ask you, you were able to track down, pinpoint the location of the meeting between the University of Louisville and their meeting with the NCAA. Now, I won't ask you to reveal your sources, but can you give me kind of a ranking on how difficult this was to find out? Like based on, you know, out of all the all of your missions you've been on, where did this one rank?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is the hardest, I would give it a 9. Pretty much anyone who is involved in all of this, you know, people who were at the hearing and people who would know about it, really could not and would not say a word about it. So it took a lot of extra sleuthing to find out. So I would put it pretty high up there. Pretty high up there with any time, you know, certain things happen with police because, you know, the police obviously have ways to hide things. So it was really hard to figure out.
Jeff, it's Steve Rummage here. And I want to give you a lot of props too, because we've talked to a few people. I heard some horror stories about people that drove to Indianapolis and were waiting on this thing and had to fly over and try to get over to Cincinnati on time. Some made it, some didn't. And you sniffed it out. Like, I've got to give Jeff his props. He's the man. I mean, that's incredible. Bringing all the news, man.
So, well, we got there at, well, we weren't – okay, so we was in the Westin in Cincinnati. We found out the night before. I was at my birthday dinner, and I got a phone call and stepped out for a second and got the specifics. And we went, we got there really early. We got there like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the lobby. And I went and sat in the back corner of the lobby with a chair facing me so that it was sort of blocking anyone seeing me. And then I just kind of was like looking around to see if people were showing up for the hearing. We knew that it was there. I mean, we were confident that it was there, but we just, you know, obviously wanted to make sure.
Right.
And so when I started seeing people that I wanted to see walking in, you know, we knew we were in the right place. I will tell you, you know, that we were hoping that we would be the only ones there toward the end. Credit to Eric Crawford they found it eventually. I think they went to Indianapolis first. So I'm guessing throughout the course of the day, it started to leak out a little bit more. But yeah, no, it was an exciting victory at first, but it ended up being like a 17-hour day and definitely an exhausting experience. So I don't know how much we were able to celebrate.
Oh, okay, so just last question on that. You kind of gave us a picture of the mood. What was the mood as the because, you know, I like to be sports psychologist guy and I like to read into things that you can't necessarily read into. What was the mood that you got in your best, you know, psychological evaluation of everybody leaving the meeting other than tired?
I mean, I think they just looked like, for lack of a better description, I mean, they looked like a bunch of men and women who were dressed up for business meetings all day. I mean, they didn't really betray any sort of like, we did great in there or we did terribly in there or anywhere on those ends of the spectrum. I mean, it was just kind of that took a really long time. I will say as the day went along, the only guy who was really noticeably different in his demeanor was Brandon Williams' lawyer, who started out the day kind of being funny. And when he'd go to, you know, on the bathroom breaks, when he'd walk by, he would smile and make a joke and whatever, and by the end of the day, he was not all that thrilled that he was in there. So I don't know if he thought it would be a shorter experience or what, but he was really the only noticeably different demeanor. You know, I thought Rick Pitino looked the same throughout the day. He obviously did not want to be there,
right?
For obvious reasons, and Tom Jurich had sort of a serious look to him. So I guess it was just kind of a pretty good poker face from all of them because, you know, I can't sit here and tell you, man, it looks like they got really skewered in there.
Talking with Jeff Greer, the Courier-Journal, well, you made a perfect transition. You talk about not really being able to get a feed of Rick Pitino's demeanor. Now, when we look back in hindsight, we do know that either around the time or very close to the time, Rick Pitino seemed to have just learned of the Jalen Johnson situation, which is the news of the day. In hindsight, do you think there's an attachment between that meeting and the recent news of Jalen Johnson transferring? Like, do you think it all ties into a direct correlation?
Meaning like when they found out about the citation and him leaving?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that had something to do with it. I don't think it was everything to do with it. You know, the way it was described to me, I think, you know, I think that some guys end up just kind of having enough of college and want to go make money. And I don't know if you guys remember from last like preseason when Rick would say, you know, Jalen came and met with me and he said, I really want to make money. I want to figure out how to be a pro.
Right.
And I don't think this past season was by any stretch perfect for Jalen, but I do think, you know, that he did a lot of good things. He wasn't consistent, but he did a lot of good things. And but he was still probably a little disappointed with his overall production. So part of it may be just frustration to just say, okay, I just got to go somewhere else and see how I do. So I don't think it helped him getting cited like that and U of L genuinely seeming surprised by it.
Right.
But it did not come across to me from talking to a couple people that was the sole reason that he left.
Okay, well, talking with Jeff Greer, the Courier-Journal, how much of do you think that was actual, you know, playing time or the disappointment last year? Because, you know, kind of being close to the situation myself, I always detected a bit of frustration. You know, as a fan or as an outsider, you see depth as a great thing. Maybe inside personality-wise, you see depth as way too much, you know, competition and not being able to flourish. Do you think it was a bit of that, like he felt like he wouldn't be able to flourish in general underneath the new recruiting and the guys coming back?
I don't think so, because I think, you know, knowing Rick's rotation tendencies, I mean, Jalen would probably start and play most of the minutes at power forward. So I think, you know, the more that I think about it and after seeing them, I do think that there's a ways to go for Jordan DeWater, Lance Thomas, and Malik Williams. I know that Malik Williams ended up being a borderline five-star player, but so is VJ King. I think those guys have a long way to go. So I would just say, you know, I think Jalen is getting up there in age, and I think, you know, he feels a responsibility to make money playing basketball. And I wonder if it was more of a, you know, I am who I am, and I'm going to go see if I can do this. In that vein more than anything else.
Talking with Jeff Greer, the Courier Journal. Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. Does it feel like from the university-wide, do you feel like there's a plan in place? Did it feel like there was a kind of a, that much of a shock with the Jalen Johnson? Does it feel like the Wright State, you know, possible grad transfer, does it feel like everything's kind of going as planned, or does it feel like any bit of scramble coming out of the University of Louisville from your perspective?
I don't know about scramble, but I know that at the end of the season to now, things have definitely changed. I think at the end of the season, they were, you know, pretty confident that no one was going to transfer and you know, that Donovan Mitchell would come back, would probably declare for the draft, but still come back. I don't think they thought that Jalen Johnson would leave. I know that they didn't anticipate Motz Stockman leaving. But obviously things change. And so over the next couple weeks after that, it kind of became clear, look, you know, Motz's, even if you were to redshirt this coming season, was still probably going to have to fight some really good players for playing time.
Right.
I still am not sure that he ever was a right fit for Louisville. And so he saw the writing on the wall and left. I think there are some rumblings toward the end of last week and into the weekend about Jalen possibly considering pursuing a pro career. To me, it was sort of surprising that they announced it that quickly on Monday. But I don't know that it's all going according to plan. I do know that they, they feel pretty good with the guys who are still coming back. And I think they feel like they know what will happen with Donovan. They feel like they have options, including the kid from Wright State, and a few other options that they feel like would be good additions to their team if they need to make them.
Well, Jeff, with the talk of Mark Allstork yesterday, the Wright State grad transfer, is that any indication on what they think about Donovan Mitchell? I mean, is there more of a belief now that maybe he will jump, or is it just strictly an insurance policy that they've got to cover all their loose ends?
I think that the NBA side of things has not changed. I've talked to a lot of different people on the NBA side of things, and they all are pretty firm in thinking that Donovan will stay in the draft. From what I have gathered, and I'm guessing what they'll tell him whenever he meets with these people, is there he has nothing to gain from coming back to school. Now, I know Louisville fans probably feel differently. You can win a national championship, or at least compete for one, maybe an ACC title. There's a lot to play for at the college level if he were to come back. But from the NBA vantage point, they're pretty convinced that even though Rick has said as much, that Donovan will not play that much at point guard, that his jump shot has already improved to what they would like to see, and there's no reason for him to. If you improve his shooting again, great, but you can do that at the NBA. You play basketball all day, every day. And then when you combine that with the athleticism and the way that he will do in the interviews, I mean, he's going to make clear that he's a savvy, smart kid that with a good personality, NBA teams will like him. So from that vantage point, I think, you know, all of the outside factors seem to point toward him leaving. I don't think it's an easy decision for him by any stretch. I think he's probably pretty close to 50-50, but I think once he goes through the process, I would be surprised if he came back, and I think Louisville is starting that tenor has started to change a little bit.
Well, since we've covered Jalen and Donovan, let's go ahead and throw Dingadale in there. I mean, we were talking earlier about, I mean, he's going to look impressive at the combine. The top guys, you know, your De'Aaron Foxes, your different ones, probably aren't going to go a lot through the combine. So he's going to have impressive measurements. I mean, is there any chatter out there whatsoever that he could be a guy that jumps also?
Not nearly as much, no. I mean, they're intrigued by him because of his length and because of, you know, some of the stuff he did at the end of the season. But Deng, you know, is still a very raw prospect in terms of NBA. I mean, he's still learning the game. You could see the progression through the college season as he started to learn a bit more about the game and get a better feel for it. But you know, like certain things like the Euro step on the fast break early in the season wasn't always working. Towards the end of the year, he was finishing better in transition, finding his spots better on the three-point line and taking smarter shots. So he's still learning. I would be absolutely shocked if Dingadale was not back at Louisville next year. I would be absolutely shocked. But, you know, like you said, I mean, things can change, and it, all it takes is one team to be intrigued by someone enough that they're willing to make a gamble. And if he hears, you know, we might pick you 40th or you know, somewhere in the second round, but we really like you and we can give you a contract of some kind, maybe he'll jump at that. But as of right now, I have not heard any indication that is something that is a possibility at this point.
Well, Jeff, the alumni in me hates what you have to say, but the professional in me absolutely loves this interview. Thank you so much. Before I get you out of here, what are some things you're kind of sniffing around? I know you're not allowed to give away a story, but what are just some general subjects you'll be attacking, you know, over the next 2 weeks or so?
Well, next week I'm going to try to not do anything because I'd like to enjoy the Derby week, but no, I mean, it's the time of year where you're kind of in limbo with the draft, and so I'll be, you know, trying to talk to some people around all of these different, you know, well, around two of them now, Donovan and Deng. A lot of recruiting stuff is coming up, and, you know, we're seeing that already evolve a little bit, so those will be my two main focuses with the knowledge that the NCAA thing is coming up, so I'll try to touch on those topics individually.
I'm sorry, do you have a prediction about roughly when you think Louisville might be hearing something from the NCAA?
The NCAA told them 6 to 8 weeks after the hearing, so that would put you June 1st, June 8th, or June 15th on the exact 6, 7, and 8 week mark. So I would expect to hear something in early to mid-June. What that is, I'm still kind of on the fence about. I'm not sure quite what to expect, but early June is probably the best bet.
Well, Jeff, man, as always, I appreciate your time. One of these days I'm going to have to get you in the studio, maybe for one of our Made for the Ville shows in the afternoon, if I can get you to commit to that ahead of time.
All right. Sounds good, Marcus.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to you soon. That was the Courier-Journal's Jeff Greer.
I mean, Jeff is about the best source you can get outside of Rick Pitino. I mean,
he's informed.
Yeah.
He is overly informed. Yeah. He was at the meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning in the Westin Hotel in Cincinnati before anybody knew anywhere where they were.
We'll replay that today during 362.
You darn right we will.
Yeah, and probably we'll play it earlier than later because there's some points I would like people to hear so we can kind of talk about
that. Yeah, I think I lost my ability to argue about this Donovan Mitchell. Not only will I not argue with you, he gone. He gone. And if he don't go, I'm going to kick him out of here. I'm going to kick Donovan Mitchell out of the University of Louisville.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to hold him here.
Steve, go have you some great lunch. We will be back here in a couple of hours doing the Made for the Ville afternoon show. tell a friend to tell a friend. 8150-939 is always the number on 93.9 The Ville.